name for this message is Cleopas. I live in Emmaus. My hometown, Emmaus, is just a few miles from Jerusalem. In fact, about 7.5 miles from Jerusalem. I've lived there all my life. I, like every Jew, have dreamed of the day when my Messiah would come as a mighty conqueror. I have carefully read the Old Testament and read of the coming of my Messiah. As I've sat there in my home in a little town called Emmaus, not one of the famous cities of Bible lands, 'tis no Bethlehem, 'tis no Nazareth, 'tis no Jerusalem. I lived in that little insignificant place, seldom mentioned in the Bible, called Emmaus. I read carefully the book of Daniel, chapter 2, in which I heard that one day my Messiah, ushers, if you'll help the people not to come down the aisle like that, I'd appreciate it. I want you to listen to me and do what you're supposed to do, ushers. I read carefully in the book of Daniel, in chapter 2, how that someday my Messiah would come. It told me that when he would come, he would break in pieces all the kingdoms of this world, and that he, as the great conqueror, would conquer the world, and that he would establish a kingdom that would cover the earth with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. As I walked up and down the streets of my little hometown called Emmaus, no miracle recorded in my little hometown, no transfiguration performed in my little hometown. As I walked up and down the streets of my little hometown as Cleopas, I would think about my conqueror. Someday he's going to come. I would examine the pages as I would read my scriptures. I would examine the pages to find that someday the conqueror was going to come. I read that he was called the King of Glory. I read that he was called the King of Kings. I read that he was called the Conquering One. I read that he was called the Christ, the Messiah. And I would read in Daniel chapter 2 about the Babylonian Empire, which was conquered by the Medes and Persians, which was conquered by the Grecian Empire, which was conquered by the Roman Empire, which someday should become the revived Roman Empire, which someday shall be broken in pieces, and then Jesus, the conquering King, will sit on the throne in Jerusalem. I read about that. And I, like every Jew, look forward to the day when my Messiah would come as the conqueror. I read and reread Zechariah chapter 14. How that when he comes and puts down the Antichrist, the Mount of Olives shall be torn in two. An earthquake shall cause the Mount of Olives to cleave in twain. And my conqueror will stand on the Mount of Olives. And then he'll be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Christ, the glory of God the Father. And all of us will sing, all hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him. I look forward to that day when my conqueror had come. I, like every other Jew, went to my synagogue and I heard my rabbi teach that someday this conqueror would come. I look forward to it. I look forward to the royal diadem, the royal robe. I look forward to his throne on which he would sit. I look forward to it when my conquering Messiah would come. I have reveled in Genesis 3:15 that told me that someday he would come and bruise the head of the serpent. I look forward to that day as I would sit in my home maybe and read the scriptures in my little town of Emmaus. Insignificant little town. Overlooked little town. Seldom mentioned little town. I would look and
creed that someday my Messiah would come and take the devil and stomp on his head and bruise his head and put him down.
Man, I look forward to that. I, like every other Jew, have looked forward to it for 4,000 years. Every Jew that's gone to the synagogue hoped that he would see the conqueror and hoped that the diadem that would be on his brow would be sparkled in front of his own eyes. I studied carefully the temple when he comes to conquer that he'll rebuild in Ezekiel chapter 40, 41, 42, 43 and following. I've examined Isaiah 11:25 and Isaiah 11:65, which tells of my coming conqueror. And I reveled in that wonderful, wonderful hope that he shall be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I've read in Isaiah 11, Isaiah 25, Isaiah 65. I've read in Zechariah 14, Daniel 2, Daniel 7 about him when he becomes the King of Kings. And I look forward to him. I can't wait till that parade comes when he rides on a white steed and as he rides in front of the parade and with the armies following him of righteousness and men shall bow down and worship him. I can't wait to see him crowned as King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
I, like every other Jew, have looked forward to that.
I couldn't wait for my conqueror to come. And then the news spread up and down the streets of our little town that he had come. You see, I only live 7.5 miles from Jerusalem. I only live 40 miles or so from Galilee. And I only lived about 20 miles from Bethlehem, maybe less than that. And the word spread to our little town, the Messiah has come. The Messiah has come. I look for him. I look for a white steed. I look for a royal procession. I look for a glittering crown. I look for a diamond-studded scepter. I look for a royal robe on his shoulders. I look for this king to come. I look for his palace. I look for his throne. I look for his armies. I look for his cavalry. My Messiah, they said he's come.
I heard he was going to get baptized. I went down to the Jordan River and I saw my Messiah. Are you listening to me? I saw my Messiah. John the Baptist baptized him. I'll tell you what he's going to do. As soon as he rises out of that water, he's going to take over.
He's going to stand up and conquer, and he'll be my conqueror as soon as he comes.
He didn't do that. I was disappointed.
My conqueror had come. The King of Glory has come in.
Where is his army? Where is his scepter? Where be his crown? Where sits his robe? Where is his throne? Where are his subjects? Where is his cavalry? I was disappointed. I saw him go up to a mountain. Now he'll conquer.
When he stands up on that mountain, now he'll conquer. I mean, this is it. That's why he's going on that mountain. Because I read in Zechariah chapter 14 where he's going to come to the Mount of Olives. And he's up there now on the Mount of Olives. He's going to establish his kingdom. He is going to put down the Herods and put down the kings of the Roman Empire. And he will become king of a...
Was I ever disappointed? He didn't do it. What happened to my conqueror? He's not conquering.
My Old Testament said he was going to come to conquer. The psalmist said, the King of Glory shall come in. Well, there is the King of Glory, baptized in Jordan, going up the Mount of Olives. Why doesn't he conquer? When is my Messiah going to conquer?
I see him tempted. He's up on the Mount of Temptation.
He climbed that mount. And the devil comes to tempt him. The devil tempts him 3 times, and 3 times he shoots the word of God back. It is written. It is written. It is written. And the devil cannot cause him to yield. Hey, this is it. This is the time. He'll blow a trumpet and cause angels to come from the portals of glory, and he'll establish his kingdom. Now then, this is the conqueror.
But he didn't. This is not what I expected. When I read my Bible, my Old Testament, when I read Daniel chapter 2, when I read Daniel chapter 7, Zechariah 14, Isaiah 11, Isaiah 25, Isaiah 65, this is not what I expected. Could this be the Messiah? I saw him take Peter, James, and John to a mountain, probably Mount Tabor, maybe Mount Hermon, but probably Mount Tabor. And there he is up there on the mountain, on Mount Tabor. And there with him, he has Peter, James, and John. And Moses and Elijah come, and they fellowship with him. Hey, heaven comes down. Moses, who died, is there. And Elijah, who bypassed death, is there. And Peter, James, and John, who have not yet gone to heaven, are there. And Jesus is there. I know what it is. Elijah is one of his generals. I know Moses is one of his commanding officers. I know he's chosen these five men to be the commanders of his army. I know. Now he'll pronounce it. The kingdom has come. It's conquering time. And he'll come down from that mountain and sit on the throne. But he didn't. My name is Cleopas. I live in Emmaus. I, like every other Jew, have looked forward to the Messiah's coming, but frankly, I'm disappointed. I wasn't expecting this. I was expecting a royal carriage. I was expecting on the side of that carriage a royal logo. I was expecting angelic host. I was expecting parades. I was expecting a mighty sword. I was expecting my general to come, my conqueror to come. He didn't conquer anything. He hadn't conquered one solitary thing. My name is Cleopas. I saw him choose 12. I saw him in Matthew chapter 10 choose 12 men. I know what he's choosing. He's choosing 12 generals. He's choosing his colonels and majors and captains. He's choosing those men to lead his militia. And when he gets his men chosen, he will train them and then he will conquer. No more Caesars. No more Pharaohs. No more Herods. No more Pilates. No more Titus. No more. He came down off the mountain with those 12 fellows and was the same little guy he was when he went up there. That's not what I expected. I expected my conqueror to come. And every Jew that's... not one single Jew that's ever lived expected this. Nobody expected this. They look forward to a Messiah, a crown, a diadem, a scepter, a throne, a robe, an army, a palace. I saw him in Gethsemane. Now he will. But he didn't conquer. I saw him betrayed. Now he will stand up and say, it's time to conquer. He didn't conquer. I saw him tried wrongly before Pilate, Caiaphas, and others. I saw him tried and wrongly indicted, wrongly accused, wrongly convicted. I know now they've tried him and they've said he's guilty. I know what he'll do. He'll stand up now and say, I'm not guilty. I'm innocent. And put down Pilate and put down Caiaphas and put down Herod and put down the soldiers and he will become king of... He didn't do that. I wonder if this is the Messiah. It's not what I thought. It's not what I expected. He was convicted. Taken to Calvary. Listen to me. Taken to Calvary. Boy, I know what he's going to do. He's going to be up there on that cross. And they think they've got him. And while he's on that cross, and they think that they have him, boy, he's going to fool them. They can't, if you be the Christ, come down to the cross, they cry. I heard them as they cried that. I know what he's going to do. He's going to come down from that cross and he's going to show. That's what he's going to do. He'll not stay there. He's my Messiah. He's my conqueror. It's time to conquer. But he didn't. The truth is, he died. 3 days ago, they buried him. And I'm disappointed. I thought he was the one. I guess I was wrong. I thought that he was the conqueror of Daniel 2. I thought he was the one to put his feet on the Mount of Olives of Zechariah 14. I thought he was the King of Glory of the Psalms. He's dead. I'm going back home. I've been to Jerusalem for all of this fanfare, and I'm disappointed. I guess I'll look for another. My name is Cleopas. I decided to go back home. Just a 7.5-mile journey. As I journeyed back to Emmaus, saddened with another friend of mine who also was disappointed, my heart was broken. My Messiah had not stood on the Mount of Olives yet as a king. He had not wielded a scepter, worn a crown, sat on a throne, marshaled an army. What happened to my conqueror? He didn't conquer anything. And as I was walking back to Emmaus with my friend, all of a sudden some guy came up beside me. He said, "What's wrong?" The two of us were sad, and this guy beside me said, "What's wrong? Why are you guys looking so sad?" And I said to him, "Haven't you heard? Are you a stranger here? Didn't you know what went on in Jerusalem? Jesus of Nazareth came. I thought he was the Messiah. He came, he lived, he died. But he didn't conquer. Where is the king of Daniel 2? Where is the king of Psalm 22, 23, and 24? Where is the king of Daniel 7? Where is the king of Zechariah?" He's been dead 3 days. They kept on walking. "Didn't you know about all this? You're some stranger around here or something?" And all of a sudden, God opened my eyes. Thank you, fellas. God opened my eyes. And I saw, this was my Savior. I saw the crown, the thorns, braces, the thorns that pierced his brow. I saw the wounds on his hands, and my eyes were open. This is he. And may I tell you what he told me? He said, "I did conquer. I did conquer. You do not know this. I did not conquer by sitting on a throne in Jerusalem. I conquered by being nailed to a cross outside Jerusalem." I asked him a question. "What did you conquer?" "My Messiah said to me, I conquered sin. I paid the price for sin. I grabbed sin by the nape of the neck, and I put sin down and stopped it forever, and sin no longer can have dominion over anybody who will trust me as Savior. Why? Because I conquered sin on Calvary." Quite frank with you, that's not what I thought he'd conquer. I thought he'd conquer all my enemies. I thought he'd put down the Pharisees. I thought he'd become the king in Jerusalem. I asked him, "What else did you conquer?" He said, "I conquered hell. I dipped my own soul there on Calvary, the torments of hell, and I paid your hell. I paid your sin debt. I paid your price, and now you don't have to go to hell. Why? On Calvary, I conquered hell." Boy, it's not what I expected, but it's better than I expected. "What else did you conquer, dear Messiah?" "On Calvary, I conquered sin. I conquered hell. And I conquered death." "I conquered death. Did you mean I don't have to die?" He said, "You don't have to die forever. And I've taken the sting out of physical death. I've made it so that death is only a vestibule to heaven. I've made it so that the moment you quit breathing here, you start breathing eternal air with an eternal body, and you'll live forever. I'm telling on Calvary, I conquered. I didn't conquer with a cavalry. I didn't conquer to sit on a throne. I didn't conquer with an army. I got death with a chip of the neck and choked it to death and stomped death and conquered death. I conquered hell. I conquered sin on the cross. What else did you conquer? Conquering one. I conquered the devil. I conquered Satan. You thought I'd come back on a white horse and pull a royal saber or have a royal army to come and take the devil and have a trial for him and stomp the devil and conquer him. But that's not how it happened. The devil wanted you to go to hell. He wanted you to go to hell. He wanted you to go to hell. On the cross, I stomped him. He is sentenced forever to be in hell. Oh my. And I was disappointed. You've conquered sin. You've conquered hell. You've conquered death. And you've conquered Satan. And now he turned to me and say, if you'll trust me, you can have victory over all four. You listen to me this morning. If you die and go to hell, and you will if you don't trust the Savior. If you die and go to hell, if you live in your sin, it's because you choose to live in your sin, because my conqueror has conquered sin for you. If you choose to die and go to hell and burn forever in hell and live without God, without hope, without loved ones, without friends, without life, and burn the fires of hell forever, if you do that, you'll choose to do it. But thank God, you don't have to go to hell, because my conqueror has stopped the hell and put it out, and he's conquered it, and he's victor over hell, he's victor over sin, he's victor over the grave. You die without God. It's because you chose to, because you don't have to. My conqueror has conquered sin, has conquered hell, has conquered death, has conquered the grave. Our deacon, Glenn Smith, is in the hospital very ill. Numbers of things wrong with him. He's already had heart surgery, aneurysm surgery, name it. He's had it. One of the toughest men I know, one of the best men I know. Yesterday afternoon I went up, stood beside his bed, needles all in him, little body swiveled up, oxygen mask. Will he live long? I don't know. He may live for years, but he may live for minutes or seconds. I started to leave. He motioned for me. I walked over to him. He took off the oxygen mask, looked up and said, I love you, preacher. I love you, preacher. I want to thank you for all you've done for my family. I love you, preacher. He smiled, laughed a bit. You know why? Death's been conquered for him. The grave has been conquered for him. Sin has been conquered for him. Hell has been conquered for him. And I want to say this morning, I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're the Pope in Rome. If you don't trust Jesus and get saved, you're going to split hell wide open. I don't care if you're the President of the United States or some other well-known draft dodger. I don't care who you are. Okay, who you are. If you don't trust Jesus, you're going to die in your sins. You're going to have to pay for your sins. Suffer the fires and pangs of hell. But hallelujah, glory be to God, Jesus came not riding on a white horse to establish a kingdom in Jerusalem. He did not come to conquer Herod. He did not come to conquer Pharaoh. He did not come to conquer Pilate. He did not come to conquer Caiaphas. He came to conquer sin and stamp it. He came to conquer hell and make it so you don't have to go. He came to conquer death to take the sting away. And he came to conquer Satan. Hallelujah! Jesus reigns today.
You came to my house to eat. We invited him in. We sat there and saw him as he reached out with scars in his hands to take a morsel of food. Then he walked away. He had a journey back to heaven to take, and he had an eternity to sit at the right hand of God to be sure I was kept saved. But I couldn't help but thank God. I saw my conquering Savior and what He really came to conquer. If you never trusted Him, do it this morning. He has conquered sin for you. He has conquered hell for you. He has conquered death for you. And He has conquered Satan for you. No wonder the Apostle Paul said, "We are more than conquerors through Him who loved us." In a moment we're going to sing. The choir's going to sing. If you've never taken a moment to say yes to Jesus Christ, let me tell you something. You might be the biggest, strongest truck driver in this world, but you've got to face God one of these days. You might be the biggest, strongest sailor in this world, but you've got to face God one of these days. You might be the richest man in the city of Hammond or Lake County, Indiana, but you've got to face God one of these days. I don't care who you are, you've got to face God. And the only way you can conquer sin, and the only way you can conquer death, and the only way you can conquer hell, and the only way you can conquer Satan, is by putting your trust and faith in Jesus Christ. When we sing, "I want you to walk down this aisle. I want you to, when you walk down this aisle, by the walking of the aisle, you're saying, I'm going to trust my conqueror. He's not what I thought he'd be. I never thought he'd be like this. But I'd rather have it like this than have him sitting on the throne and conquering and ruling the Roman Empire. No one is leaving. Every eye is closed. Every head is bowed. No one is moving.